didn't think I'd speak to you again. I'm glad I have a chance to send you one last message. To tell you I failed. I couldn't avenge you. The weapon, the pistol the Reverend gave me, misfired. And, just like before, he walks free. I'm so sorry. The Reverend was disappointed. It was so stupid of me not to see it was a test all along. How could I have ever believed he would condone a killing by one of his flock, even if the victim was deserving? Yes, I turned my back on the path of the stars, on what could have been. But I don't regret my choice. I would have done it a million times. I made you a promise. And because of my promise, my choice, the Reverend has punished me. They've excommunicated me, sister, from my church, and from the Nock. They've then dragged me outside the colony. They've bound my hands and chained me to a tree. Here, in the same spot where poor Annabelle vanished. I'm to serve as an example to the others. To the faithful and to the faithless. And perhaps also as a sacrifice. I've been here since yesterday evening. The night was... well, I didn't think I'd survive it. I barely slept. It gets cold, and there are so many unnerving sounds. Noises difficult to describe. Animal calls, maybe? I was certain something would come crashing out of the trees, but nothing came except for the morning. Maybe it will come tonight. I suspected I wouldn't see the others again, but today I had a visitor. The celebrity, Mr. Lincoln. He came to see how I was faring, maybe looking for cracks in my faith. He felt sorry for me. He told me he was scared for me, scared of the Reverend. I suspected he might not be a true believer. He's a pretender. I told him not to mind me, that I was proud to serve my purpose, even though it meant my death. He didn't understand, but he let me be. Before he left, he gave me this comlink. I'll admit I'm grateful. Non-believers serve a purpose too, I suppose. So, yes, you can thank Mr. Lincoln for this message from your dear sister. It may be the last one. May the stars' blessings, well, you know. I love you, Ava. Take care of the children.
Science log. Personal log. Well, maybe a little both, actually. This is Dr. Lauren Wood. I'm not certain what exactly has happened, but I feel I've awoken from a rather long, bizarre dream. My head is pounding, and I'm dehydrated. The last time I felt this way was back home, after too much red wine. Even so, I feel, and this may sound strange, refreshed? More alive than I felt in a long time, since before we reached Ashborough. I found myself in a familiar place, the same clearing our team passed through. What was that? 3, 4 days ago? I recognized the wooden statues. The three figures. One pointing down, one pointing up, and the other with his pleading arms and hollow eyes. I'm alone, but I'm sure someone has brought me here and looked after me. They fashioned me a kind of bed, made of branches and leaves. There's a small fire, too. The coals are still burning. There are also bandages on my torso, neck, ankles, and forearms. I've peeled a few back and found a substance applied to my skin. It's coated on all the places where the crimson frost had been spreading. It smells awful, but I suspect it's medicinal. It's some kind of natural balm. I can already see the blisters are healing. I don't know what it is, or who is responsible, but I can't deny the efficacy. In fact, I admire it. My mind is clearer than it's felt in days. Well, at least I think it's been days. Considering my mental state, I can't be sure how long it's been. For all I know, it's been weeks. The last thing I remember was talking to Foster, telling him about... the hell if I know. I remember I'd seen visions of Amy. Dreams which felt so real. And there were others, too. Tall, strange creatures. They had been following me through the trees. Had that also been a dream? Perhaps, or perhaps not. I suspect they might be the ones who were responsible for my bandages, and for this cure. It wasn't our people, I'm certain of that. Natives of Kailus, intelligent life here in the forest. But who are they, and where have they gone?
Mission log, Foxtrot Yankee 9 Alpha, this is Captain Beckett. We're going on day 3 now, and still there's no rescue. Yesterday I intercepted some scrambled static over the comms that sounded like voices, but these faded quickly. It's the only indication I've had that New Oasis Colony still exists. The only thing which gives me hope that they didn't meet the same fate as Alpha Colony. Or maybe I'm starting to hear things in the white noise. Shuttle power is totally depleted. It happened this morning. I was awoken by the alarms signaling the imminent shutdown of all systems. The loss of backup power meant no more computers, lighting, and no more life support for hibernation. I didn't have to consult the instrument panels on the pods to know that the crew wouldn't last more than a few minutes once the power was gone. The oxygen and plasma recirculation pumps would stop, and the bodies would experience seizures and, finally, asphyxiation. Even if rescue was unlikely, I needed to buy them as much time as I could. Crashed or not, I'm still captain of the shuttle, and they're still my crew. It was my responsibility to get them to the colony safely. So in the few minutes I had before power failed, I mustered what technical wizardry I had and used the only resources left. The power cells from the T-47 rovers. We had 2 rovers on board, 4 cells each. I'm not a mechanic, so it took me longer than it probably should have, but I managed to pull all the cells. I arranged them between the rows of hibernation pods. They were 12 pods and only 8 cells, but I used the recharging cables to couple them together. For once, I was thankful for the little electrical engineering training Oasis had provided. It was a tangled mess of a wire, but it provided me with the universal adapters I could use in the medical systems. Before I made the swap, I took one last look at the peaceful faces of the crew, and I thought again, damn, you guys are lucky for getting to sleep in. If only they knew. Then, one by one, I detached the ship's power from each pod. The alarm sounded, but once I reattached the power from the cells, the systems returned to normal. I'm not gonna lie, I'm pretty proud that it worked. Sure, I've disabled the rovers, and now the only way out of here is by foot. But I've probably bought my crew another 10, maybe 12 hours. And as far as I'm concerned, that is the absolute least I can do for them. It's dark now. Outside and inside the shuttle, it's pitch black. The beacon is no longer operational, and without shuttle power, I can't charge my comm link. If no one comes, this is likely my last message. So, good night.
Hey guys, it's Ty. I can't sleep tonight. So, I figured I'd send you all a message instead. Sorry if this is kind of a downer. It's been a crazy few days here. I haven't been able to stop thinking about what Moreau and the others did to Marie. It makes me sick. It's been bugging me all day. Knowing she's out there. That the Star Children threw her outside. Like, I don't know, a piece of trash or something. And I didn't do anything to stop it. I went and saw her today. After all, Governor Whitlock had lifted the lockdown, so we weren't required to stay within the perimeter any longer. I took Caldwell's dog, Apollo. I didn't have a choice. He follows me everywhere now. But honestly, I was glad to have him along. Especially being so close to the trees. Marie looked pretty rough. I doubt she'd slept much. I mean, how could she out here? The temperatures didn't reach freezing, but it was in no way comfortable. And it had rained on and off last night. The meager undergarment she wore was soaking wet. I brought a blanket, but she refused it. She was still so damn proud. Still maintaining that stubborn self-righteousness. I wanted to know her story. Why she'd attacked Whitlock and what he had done. But she wouldn't answer me. I asked her if she hated Moreau. If she thought the Children of the Stars had betrayed her. She said no. She said she had disappointed the Reverend. And had been selfish rather than dedicated to the work of the stars. It made me angry. It still makes me angry thinking about it. I don't know why, but I told her I was faking. That I thought her religion was bullshit, and I'd only join so I could make fun of it. I told her the Beru didn't do anything for me. Everything she believed in was a lie. I was trying to hurt her, but I don't know if I did. Her expression was unreadable. Before I left, I gave her one of my comlinks. She couldn't explain any of this to me, but maybe she could explain it to someone back home. Why she was out here, about to die on an alien planet at the mercy of a bunch of lunatics. And now it's nightfall. And she's still out there. I guess we'll find out tomorrow morning if she survived the night. I went out there to comfort her. Well, maybe to comfort myself. But I don't think I did either.
Mr. Park, I feel like a feckless fool. 2 days out in these wildlands and we've achieved nothing. I can't believe I was stupid enough to think we could discover anything with these handheld scanners. The devices are wholly inadequate for the task. The detection radius is much too small and the precipitation has caused repeated glitches. We spent hours this morning walking in circles because of the readout malfunctions. I wasn't prepared for how dense the forest is. It took the entirety of the first day to reach Delta Point. We were so soaked when we arrived, we might as well have swam here. I don't have any dry clothes left, and the thunder in the distance can only mean more storms are on the way. I'm a dedicated man, Mr. Park, but I also know when one must retreat and reevaluate one's strategy. I was too optimistic. Too ambitious in thinking a small team with a few scanners could achieve anything in this soggy wilderness. No. Now it's time to return to the Nock. Damn! Oasis has been struggling for a foothold here for too long. The board will want to see some kind of progress soon. It's important that they have confidence in my position here, and in our arrangements with Moreau. Speaking of which, I've learned our reverend friend is well aware of the sample of Baru I had procured. A few of the men on the expedition let it slip earlier today. Evidently, the poor sap I'd bribed had confessed in tears to the entire church. This was all before we'd even left. It's curious Moreau didn't confront me about this. Obviously, he must be aware of my intentions by now. It's no matter. I would have preferred to avoid any conflict until we were much further along in our plans, but ultimately there's nothing he can do. This colony belongs to Oasis, after all, and I am the governor here. I represent the board, and he needs their support. Still, I doubt Moreau's the kind of man who would bow easily to another. It may become necessary to put plans in motion to gain better leverage. We don't want his power getting out of hand.
Hope you can hear me. It is the middle of the night, and alarms have started going off. You can probably hear them now. There's a lot of shouting outside, so I'm gonna check it out. Take a look and see what's going on. I think it might be an intruder. Or maybe it has something to do with Marie. Did something happen to her? It is a madhouse out here. All of the security is heading towards the gate.
What did you say? Where? Now?
Oh, shit! Sounds like something is approaching the colony. Something. Someone just came out of the trees. I'm headed to the gate now to take a look. Okay. It looks like Maria's still there. I can still see her out there. She looks all right. But there's someone else. Oh my god. I think... Is that... It's Annabelle. I think that's Annabelle. She's come back. Listeners, you are not going to believe this. But Annabelle Gordon just walked out of the woods.